Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
And we're here every Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock to bring you information on real estate and finance. And today is no exception.
Yes, all things related.
That's right. And speaking of related, so we have Robert Maxwell, an attorney, and Hamilton Gardner, the principal of Holmquist & Gardner, attorneys at law. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, appreciate you guys being on air. So for our listeners, many times people know that you and I have different connections throughout the industry locally and meet people through different associations and memberships and what have you. And Rob and I met at the Legal Forum for Rental Housing Association in Washington, where I got to, you know, kind of be, I don't know, what was I, a moderator?
I think I was a moderator. You kept the flow.
Well, thank you. I thought I was there partly for comic relief as well, but because it got a little tense sometimes. People get agitated when we start talking about landlord-tenant laws and issues about, especially the city of Seattle.
Yep.
Right. There's a lot of tensions getting very high.
Justified. And that,
yeah, totally justified. And so anyway, it was a great opportunity for me to meet the attorneys who were there being part of that panel. And Rob was there. And I really appreciated all the insight that you shared at that event, because most of those landlords self-manage. Right. It was at least half the room. There's about 100 people, 120 people in that room, with at least half of them self-managing. And I always think to myself, you must like to also like do tightrope walking, because it seems highly risky to do that.
It was definitely a sobering experience hearing some of the questions come from the landlord.
Correct.
Just sitting there going, oh, you do manage this? So
It
was nice to address those, and it was a good forum to do that.
Yeah. And so, you know, for me, it's like getting the opportunity. We've had Sean Martin on the show several times and other folks from Rental Housing Association, and we have been in support of a lot of the work that they've done in trying to overturn some of the crazy things that City of Seattle's trying to impose on landlords locally. And so just getting a chance to meet some other attorneys who work within that space was great for me, because one, you know, we do always need content for this show, and we have four main sectors that we try to cover, which are Residential Insider, Investor Angle, Green Building and Design, and then also Regional Impact. And so this hits two of our areas, because it's kind of regional impact, because it's the housing industry itself, what's going on with local business, you know, things like that, as well as, you know, Investor Angle, right? And, you know, there were, like you said, there were a lot of topics that came up, a lot of questions where you're like, ooh, maybe you should think about property management, because that person is supposed to be on top of these things all the time. And it's great to be a member of Rental Housing Association, because they do try to keep people apprised across the entire state about what's going on in their local municipalities. But it's still, that's still big risk in my mind, right?
Yeah, there's a lot going on just being a landlord, and a lot of things to be aware of. And I agree with you. The association does a great job in helping landlords get there. So that's a shameless plug for them.
Yeah, and they're not a sponsor. They're not a sponsor. I want to make sure and point that out. Like, you know, this is just something that Eric and I do. But before we got on the show today, I was asking you, you know, what was kind of the direction that we wanted to cover? And you brought up something very specific that you're seeing quite a bit of in your office. And I'll leave it to either you, Rob, or Hamilton to address. But what was that major topic you've been running into a lot?
Well, one of the things that Rob and I were talking about even just before we started here was landlord diligence. And diligence in terms of managing their properties and not getting caught with any of the City of Seattle laws.
And there's a bunch of them.
Yes. Making sure you're giving proper notices, not letting yourself slip into the month-to-month automatic lease situation, trying to make sure that you're just watching what's happening with your properties. And Rob and I see that all the time.
And we really want to dig into that, because I think if you look at the typical landlord in the City of Seattle, they're a mom-and-pop operation. I think the majority of the rental properties in Seattle – the majority of landlords own fewer than maybe four properties. So we're not dealing necessarily with a sophisticated, you know, property management company. You know, these are just mom and pop operations.
Not at all. They aren't sophisticated, and usually they have a really close relationship with their tenants, are thinking about how can they make things good for those tenants, which are above and beyond just providing, you know, like a roof over their head.
Yeah, I've had conversations with lots of owners like that, and I kind of start going,
oh, I don't want to raise the rents. I don't want to make them mad.
Or
you know, if
yeah,
I make them
start
mad, they're going to move out.
Yeah. Or, well, another one that I hear all the time is like, well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to sign this, you know, 14-month plus lease. And I'm also kind of like, did you know you need to record that? Huh? And they think it's recording the tenant. I'm like, no, it's you. You're giving up kind of some ownership of your property when you do that. Like, you need to be aware of that.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times that Rob and I have had one of those people walk into our office from the landlord side, and the tenant wanted 3 years, and they wanted to be really nice to the tenant. They gave the tenant 3 years.
And they think it's awesome. They're like, oh, it's so great. I'm going to have solid income for 3 years. And you're like, oh, no.
Then the interesting part is the tenant wants out after about a year and a half because they want to go buy their first house.
Yeah.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they start bringing up all the legal technicalities that the landlord didn't comply with. And they're trying to get out of their lease.
Gosh, can we break part of that down on this show? We should. That would be kind of fun. if we don't get a chance to do it today, we should on another show. But, okay, so you're saying like the landlord steps into the landmine without even knowing it. But what is, so you mentioned month to month, like let's get out of that long-term lease. The month to month, that's a big one you're seeing right now. What are the issues that come up?
Oh, well, the month to month, the big issue that we see is a lot of the leases that are out there, you'll see these automatic renewal provisions that, you know, maybe a
very
landlord
common.
Went online and grabbed something, which is, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. And they're trying to at least get it in writing, which is great.
Right.
But if you're not aware of how those provisions interact with the actual landlord-tenant relation, you wind up in this strange area where you're now a month-to-month tenant afterwards, and it becomes very difficult to remove a tenant, even if there is an issue with it.
Can you talk more about that? Because the city of Seattle has the cause, Just Cause, okay. So how does that work?
Well, Seattle has listed and gone down through a pretty exhaustive list of when you can terminate a month-to-month lease. And if it's outside of those ranges, or if it doesn't apply to one of those items, then you're stuck in that system as long as that individual is paying. There are things you can do.
Oh, yeah. What are some examples of what might...
One, the biggest, the most obvious is non-payment of rent.
Sure.
So that's just a justified eviction or just cause to remove somebody.
Right.
Another one, let's say you want to sell your house, and this is something that Reba might be interested in, is somebody's got a month-to-month tenant and they want to sell the place.
Yeah.
You've got to give them 90 days notice.
Yes.
And then you have to list it within 30 days after that.
Which is a fairly new ordinance, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then if there's a specific number of 3 days, let's say you're giving your tenants 3 days notice because they're not paying rent. Well, if you give them, I think it's, what is it, four?
Three or four
of these in a 12-month period, then you can evict them, you know, because they're paying, you know, they pay within the 3 days. Or specific number of 10-day notices. So there's just a whole list of very specific reasons on, the only reasons on when you can evict somebody who is a month-to-month tenant. If you want to move into your own place, which actually is pretty common for, especially for small landlords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to move in, you can, or maybe you want to have your daughter or son move in. Mm-hmm. You can do it under certain circumstances after giving appropriate notices. So you cannot just remove somebody. But if you go outside of the city of Seattle, if you want to terminate a month-to-month lease, it's a 20-day notice. But only in Seattle.
That's actually all over the news right now in the city of Burien. There's, a 30-odd unit apartment building that was just changed ownership, and the new owners have given notice, you know, to all the tenants, you know, to vacate. I think they're giving them 30 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Notice. And, of course, now this is creating an affordable housing issue, possible homeless, issue because the rents were quite low in this building. So...
Is that someone who's planning on converting that to condos? That they did the
entire
complex?
I'm not sure about
the
complex? Well, it was a large company that bought this building. So who knows? Yeah, maybe they're doing renovations, or maybe they're just going to jack up the rents. I don't know.
Right.
But so I can see both sides of that issue. Number one, you know, you are displacing low income housing, and that's always a concern, especially in our area. But could that work in Seattle? I don't think it would. It could it?
No, absolutely not. Well, I guess that's not necessarily true. If you were going to rehab the whole building, there are some circumstances when you could give notices, but it's not 20 days.
Okay.
Yeah, so it possibly could happen. It just depends on what you're going to do with the building.
Right. So the point basically being, don't just make assumptions. If you own a property, like, you really need to dive into it, get some good advice, and make sure you don't put yourself in the hot seat of either a lawsuit or landlord, the tenants union coming after you, or some of these other things that could happen.
Absolutely. Make sure if you know what you're, if you're going to buy a building and it's inhabited with a bunch of month-to-month tenants, mm-hmm. make sure you know what you're going to do when you, after you buy that building. Or if you're a small landlord and you're just going to let that automatically roll over to month-to-month, just beware.
Yeah, well, I mean, so your point about Burien brings into thought for me of, I actually just got done selling a property down in Skyway for a client. I was the listing agent, but I happen to know the gentleman who's buying it. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons he's buying a place is because his mother and sister had lived in Renton. And again, an outside company bought a whole complex and they displaced a ton of tenants, mm-hmm. you know, gave notice and they all had to be out in 30 days. And so the city of Renton has now instituted something that's very similar to prevent that short notice, kind of almost homelessness, you know, issue that came up out of that, because basically right. his sister and mother had to move in with him and all of a sudden he's cramped in because he's trying to keep them from being on the streets.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so there's, I mean, I get it from both sides. I mean, that's one of the things we try and give our listeners a balance that, like, we're not, you know, against tenancy and, you know, all these other things. It's like, but we get that for, you know, it's one thing if you're a large investor coming in, because you're probably doing a lot more, as you say, due diligence. You've got legal teams working on your behalf, you know, checking into all that stuff, you would hope. But the small landlord doesn't always have that, you know, or may not even think that they have to do that, because they always think, well, it's my property. Can I do what I want with my property? I have my own property rights.
Right.
Right. You know,
yeah, and
so
they have no idea that there's these landmines that are.
Yeah. And then they stick their foot right in it
and
then they get, you know, right. blown off at the knee,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
So
and lots of times by the time they even get there, they've already done it.
Right.
Know,
yeah. That's the unfortunate part.
They didn't comply with the laws when they were signing the lease in the first place.
Right.
You know, so there's all of those tricky things that you should watch.
Okay. So what kind of advice? Okay. So, yes, granted, people oftentimes come to your firm because they've now stepped into it. When we get back from the break, I want to get also some tips for our listeners on best practices, things they should be looking into, maybe questions they should be asking, and or how they engage with maybe getting, you know, legal help before they get themselves in
if
trouble.
If they're already in trouble.
Yeah, or if they're already in trouble. Keep in out of it, either way. All right, we're going to be right back with Open House with Team Reba with the folks from Holmquist and Gardner.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590, The Answer.